As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line, plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
Your official station to talk Jets. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app. It's KM to AM on WFAN.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM.
The Fan.
WFAN.
Yeah. My bad. I'm here watching the Knick game. We're going to get into it. KM to AM. Keith McPherson on the Fan. There's so much to talk about. Dial 888-808-1019 if you'd like to talk sports. We're going to unpack the weekend. I mean, I haven't been on since Friday. A lot happened Saturday, Sunday, and today. The Yankees lose. I feel like they lost like 3 hours ago. That game started at 6. I think it was over by the time we got to 7:30. The Mets win. A lot to say about the New York Mets, Citi Field, and the Met fan. But right now, I'm looking at the Knicks like, yo, this is the opportunity right now to go up 2-0. They can't let it slip. Live in Madison Square Garden. We're going to get to it, man. I'm just going to let the game finish out. But they're down 2 right now. That's got to be a foul, too. And 1. We're going to talk a lot about the fouls, the whistle, right? How this game was officiated. We'll talk about Saturday's game, compare it to this game. I'm sorry, it's 94-94. I'm live on the radio right now. There's nothing more important than this right now. There's nothing bigger going on in New York than this right now. And I'm not going to give you the play-by-play. And most likely, if you're listening to me, maybe you're watching the Knick game. Maybe you're not. But Dennis Schroeder just splashed the 3. It's now 97-94. Brunson returns the favor. Clanks it off the back of the rim. Okay, I said I wasn't going to do the play-by-play. Anyway, Mets fans, call me up. The way that this has been going this early on in the season, what do I say? I say, to the victor go the spoils. You win, you got it. Right? We have 2 teams here, and on a night-to-night basis, it's better to start with the victors first. Like I said, the Yankees lost that game as soon as they were back-to-back and a belly-to-belly home runs. They go down 4-0, and, you know, they're without Trent Grisham. I don't know why Mikal Bridges has taken so many shots in this fourth quarter. I know he's having a better night, but when it's closing time, there's really only one guy that's supposed to be taking those shots and making those shots, and that's Jalen Brunson. And then second in command, I would say either Cat or OG. I know Mikal was feeling it a little earlier, but he has not been feeling in this fourth. I think he's 0-for-3 with his shot attempts here. And this is going to create an interesting dynamic. Anyway, back to the Yankee game. I think we're going to end up talking more tonight. At least I know, like, Yankee fans that want to talk to me are going to talk more about what we saw in Tampa. And I honestly hated the series in Tampa. They should have swept, and I'm still bothered by a lot of things that transpired from, you know, Friday night with Jazz, the makeup call. The umpires are terrible. ABS, ASAP. But, like, it's not even just the umpires now. We have official scorers getting involved. We have MLB and their review, which I've seen in New York, in the New York office, like the MLB headquarters reviewing things and not getting it right. On top of Devin Williams, which have at it at Devin Williams. I will not get on this microphone and defend Devin Williams. We can talk all around. Oh, yeah, he had some borderline strikes, call balls. Oh, some soft conduct. It does not matter. You get enough opportunities to go out there with a four-run lead. They keep giving you soft landing spots. And you're the airbender. You're the number one ranked reliever in baseball. Like, we gave you some time to come back from paternity leave and get in a rhythm. Now there's no excuses. And obviously the defense didn't necessarily help him out. And you just hate to see it. You hate to see it. I was talking to some friends of mine, and I'm like, you can't get walked off at the boss. You can't get walked off in George M. Steinbrenner Field when you're up four runs. So anyway, not looking great for the Knicks, how quickly the vibes have changed. So I'm sure we're going to get an influx of Knicks fans reacting to this game within the next 10 to 15 minutes. So 888-808-1019. If any Yankee fans want to talk about Ben Rice, and I just saw the update that Boone gave, Ben Rice should be back in the lineup tomorrow. Trent Grisham, how about the year that Trent Grisham has been having? Congrats to him and his family. He's on paternity leave. Aaron Judge and the home run that was not called, and how that's going to impact his numbers this year, how they're going to impact his overall numbers. How this is the second home run that has been taken off the board from the guy. He's already got to deal with low strikes called at his ankles. He's already got to deal with all the pressure of being the Yankees captain and being the face of baseball. You would think, right? You would think the face of baseball hits a home run like that in a spring training ballpark, and I would just be, you know, doing the circle with my finger like I'm doing on a live stream right now. Home run. Don't got to ask me about it. Don't got to check twice. The guy that hits all the home runs in Major League Baseball. Yeah, I'm gonna bet that one was fair. But yeah, Max Fried, excellent. Max Fried, you just think about him being a Yankee and what it took for him to be a Yankee. And thank God he is with the Yankees right now, as Clark Schmidt goes out there tonight in his second outing and not so great. And Luis Gil is pushed back to June. And Marcus Stroman's still feeling some stuff with the knees, so he's not going to get rushed back. But it seems like, you know, I think the best thing that we got out of Tampa was Carlos Rodon's outing. As Judge continues to, you know, be Judge, and, you know, a couple other guys show themselves. Volpe kind of breaking out of it a little bit. It's another thing. Dominguez homer tonight. And there was an at-bat in Tampa where Dominguez was struck out and he didn't see a strike. It was the most ridiculous at-bat. Everything outside of the strike, like, I don't know. It sucks. As a baseball fan and as a Yankee fan, I want to love the game. I want to watch the game. But similar to how I say the NFL is bogus, the officiating in MLB is bogey. 888-808-1019. There is 3.6 seconds left in this game as Jalen Duren just cashed that free throw. The Knicks are down 6, 100-94. And there's going to be a lot of conversation about how this game did not end up being a win for the Knicks. I felt like they had a real shot here down the stretch. I knew Lightning was not going to strike twice the way that it did Saturday. Detroit was completely overwhelmed. The matchups, and shout out to Tibbs for the coaching and the decisions with who would be out there and who wouldn't be out there. They give them a different look tonight, and it doesn't go their way. Even with guys fouling out, even with guys in foul trouble, even without Isaiah Stewart, now the series starts. I'm going to say this probably for the rest of the night. The series doesn't start until the home team loses. The Knicks playing from behind and trailing, it's a bold strategy, Con. It worked on Saturday. The chances of you going on a run, and it was slim. This one, letting this one slip, makes it a series. I've been saying Knicks in six. I still believe Knicks in six. For it to be Knicks in six, Detroit would have to win two games. They're about to win one in the Garden, and I damn sure think they can win one in Little Caesars Pizza Arena. There's your 30-plus point game from Cade Cunningham. We'll talk about it. 888-808-1019. But back to the Mets for a second. I don't know how long. Can I keep going, boy? We got some time. Because the Yankee conversation is mostly annoying. The Yankee conversation is just dumb to me. They had a winning streak going. They should have swept. And, you know, just a lot of nonsense coming out of Tampa, coming out of our spring training home that we're literally letting these guys Airbnb. What a joke. You would think they'd be better hosts. You would think, I don't know, whatever. What's going on with the Mets right now is special. They're a good team. And it's funny how last week was full of distractions, really around one player. And we all knew it was nonsense. We all knew that it wasn't going to last. We all knew that it was not going to hold, whether you're a Yankee fan, Met fan, or just a baseball fan. You knew it was much about nothing some 20, 21, 22 games in. But the Mets aren't losing in Citi Field. And the Mets are selling out games in Citi Field. And the leader, the captain of the team, is hitting homers and stepping up to the plate and setting the tone night after night, day after day. The Met fan is showing up and having a party out there. The Met fan is showing up and bringing a friend and family members, and they're deep out there. And that's what your owner asked for. And it's a product of the success that the Mets had in the postseason last year. It literally looks like we're right back to October. 888-808-1019. It's got the same vibes. As much as I talked about getting the OMG Mets back together, as much as I talked about you kind of need these guys. Severino, you might want to bring him back. Jose Iglesias, Candelita, you need that guy back. At least they brought Pete back. They brought Winker back. They brought pieces of that bullpen back. And the Mets are back to consistently winning. The Mets are back to filling up their ballpark, the make-it-happen Mets, imposing their will, making sure that they come through in big moments, and giving fans something to cheer about. Standing ovation or not, Juan Soto broke through, and it was only a matter of time. And I want to say, if that little bit of Juan Soto not coming through with runners in scoring position, not hitting homers, I mean, tonight he hit one that, like, it did not stand. But just the reaction alone in Citi Field, it's turned up. It's turned up. I can respect it. I can respect it. Now we got Knicks fans calling in, so let's break it down. All I'm going to put out there is we have the Mets continuing their win streak. Another win tonight, a big win against the Philadelphia Phillies. We can talk about that. And we can talk about all the different things about help on the way, players coming back, who's performing. Jesse Winker homer tonight. I bet him on Saturday. I knew he was due. And Lindor, like, it's about Lindor now, right? Pete, obviously, Lindor now too deserves a ton of respect for how he's carrying the team, how he's playing in that building. The Yankees, I think the conversation now is like, hey, you know, got to get guys like Ben Rice back in the lineup. We'll see how long it takes for Trent Grisham to come back. Judge is still Judge, but this pitching, again, this pitching, you know, you get a start from Clark Schmidt that was pretty decent, and then you get the best start from Rodon, and you get almost a no-no from Max Fried, and here we are, Clark Schmidt. It's fine. In his second outing, gives it up, and yeah, we got to take a break, and then we're going to talk about the Knicks. I see the calls coming in. 888-808-1019 as the Knicks game goes final. A lot lower scoring than the first one. Detroit wins 100-94. I swear the Knicks had it, and then they didn't. Keith McPherson on the Fan. We will talk about the Knicks, and I will mix in some of your calls about the Yankees and the Mets. But this is a four-hour show. I've got till 2 a.m., so we will unpack everything from the weekend, from today. But, you know, we got to react in real time to the series being tied 1-1 going back to Detroit. You're listening to The Fan. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. It's a series between the Pistons and the Knicks. It's split 1-1. And now we go back to Detroit. Feeling some kind of way. And I would hope that it's the kind of way that makes the Knicks decide, hey, we don't need to play from behind. We can't play from behind. We need to come out and assert ourselves. We need to hit our shots. We need to toughen up a little bit and take a lead and keep a lead. And even when we do go down, not let it get to, like, because you felt like they were about to take that game. And at least I did, sitting in here, and I was even talking about it on air. I got excited for a minute. I'm like, this is it. Shot selection, couple calls, couple decisions don't go their way. So here we are, Knicks fans. It's your turn to call a fan. Tell me what you saw, what you feel. I mean, a tale of two different games. A tale of two different fourth quarters, really. Because even in the first game on Saturday, they struggled with the Pistons, too. Now, what I'll say is, as I'm pulling up these box scores, so I'll have both Saturday and today in front of me, there's the 33-point game from Cade Cunningham. And they didn't have Isaiah Stewart. You get 20 from Dennis Schroeder off the bench. I mean, Asar Thompson fouled out. It was going the Knicks way. Let me talk to you guys. Ben is in Connecticut. Ben, you got it. You're first.
Hey, Keith. Wow. You know, diehard Knicks fan. I watch every game. The one thing I have to say, and I don't want to sound like the season's over here because it's obviously not, and we may even win this series. But something I saw in this game is Jalen Brunson, like, looking around for foxhole guys like he had last year and just not seeing them anywhere. The amount of times that he was on the ground in the paint alone tonight, maybe with Hart by his side, was incredible. I mean, you have Karl-Anthony Towns and Mikal Bridges both had zero fourth quarter points, okay? Cat did not take a single shot in the fourth quarter, and he really was not – he wasn't getting into the post. He wasn't competitive on many rebounds. And I like, there was one moment where Bridges clearly – or I'm sorry, where Brunson clearly was hobbling on his bad ankle – and he, like, couldn't go to the lane. And he was, like, looking around, like, guys, like, someone help me, bro. And I feel like it was like he's looking around for Ihart and Dante, and they're not there, you know. And I think for the first time tonight we may have seen a team that misses the grit, you know. And obviously I like the new guys. It's I'm not a pessimistic fan like that. I was hoping for the best. But you did see tonight in the fourth quarter of a tough, physical playoff game, you saw guys who you can't help but think, we know they're maybe slightly more talented, but are they foxhole guys that Brunson was looking for? And I don't think they were in the big spot.
Yeah, you saw Cam Payne get hot and him to have a Robin to his Batman, and then he was able to put his cape on, pun intended, and close out the last one. But tonight, I understand what you're saying, and I think a lot of Knicks fans are going to look backwards to last year. And we're always going to hold those guys up to a higher standard because of what they did. Like, you're going to think, where's Dante DiVincenzo to at least attempt a three, maybe knock it down? Where's Ihart in the paint to maybe bully, you know, get a read?
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of the Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to the Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Rebound, a putback. Karl-Anthony Towns is not bullying. And Karl-Anthony Towns, I was reading, I saw that too. I think Fred Katz was talking about him not shooting. He's not Ihart. And then Mikal Bridges had a better night, and as I mentioned, Campaign, it's a different game, right? Campaign has zero tonight and only 4 minutes. Mikal Bridges gets going, has 19. He's able to knock down three threes, but he shot 11 of them, and down the stretch, like, that, the layup didn't go, two threes didn't go. So I understand you saying that Brunson is looking for help, but there ain't no help. He's got to be the guy, and if that ankle, right, he's going back to the locker room. If that ankle is bothering him, this is game two. You know what I'm saying? So, like, the season's not over. The series is not over. Go on.
Well, you get the feeling like we're running out of gas again, and it is very frustrating to watch. I mean, you remember how last season ended, Keith, with, you know, it was like, again, it was our guys are hobbling. Like, Brunson's not totally there physically. And it just feels like we're out of gas, and it's so frustrating to watch this team when it just, And this isn't against the Cavs of last year, man. This is against the Detroit Pistons, who we should be able to handle. And it actually feels like we are the team getting bullied a little bit, which was sort of the opposite identity as last year. So, I mean, how could I not help but but think to myself a little bit like, you know, I can't help but
missing
second
some
guess
toughness,
a little bit.
Missing some grit, missing some guys that are going to go in there and do the dirty work for sure. Thanks for the call, Ben. iHeart, you're definitely missing that guy. And if you watch the Thunder this past weekend and how many guys they have and they added iHeart, is incredible. Dante DiVincenzo, if you watch the T-Wolves this year, Julius Randle this weekend. But there's no need to look back. You got to look forward. I just think that they'll adjust. I was, you know, writing notes this weekend about Tibbs and him giving campaign the minutes and how masterful it was, the 21-0 run. It looked like JV versus varsity. I think we probably expected a little bit more of that, but the Pistons were ready. And as far as it being a physical series and people talking about the officiating and the whistles, there is a line, and they're going to toe the line between letting them play physical, letting them play, and then calling fouls. And sometimes it's going to go your way. Sometimes it isn't. As far as Karl Anthony Towns and referencing that Fred Katz tweet, Fred Katz put out, Karl Anthony Towns did not score in the second half and took his last shot of the game with 5:20 to go in the third quarter. He played all 12 minutes of the fourth quarter and did not get a shot during that time. Let's go to Joey in Detroit, Michigan. Joey, you're on the Fan in New York City.
Let's go, baby. We won since 2008.
What are you
saying?
Excited.
I'm sorry about that. I forgot I was calling.
Yeah, since 2008, been a while, been a long time. How old were you in 2008, Joey?
So I was 8 years old in 2008. I'm only 25 right now. Cade's actually younger than me, if you can believe that.
Yes, 23. And you guys hadn't been in the playoffs since 2019, and you were swept in 2019. So, woo, what a feeling in Detroit. The Lions are back. The Tigers are good. And the Pistons won one game. They might not win another one.
I don't know. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm biased, but I really think we're going to probably win in the game six.
So all of New York that is listening now, leaving Madison Square Garden, maybe on the train, maybe in the car, maybe sitting at home just tight about that first loss in this series, what advantage do you think your team has? You think that Cade Cunningham is going to be able to drop 33 every single game? You think they're just bigger, stronger, tougher? You think that they've adjusted to the way that they were shimmying and celebrating in the third quarter on Saturday prematurely, and then they got in the fourth quarter? Tell us what you saw tonight that gives you confidence the rest of the way.
You know, those are very good points, but I would just contradict one thing. We are very talented as a team. We flow chemistry-wise, and in the Knicks, they have a bunch of prima donnas. I'm very confident in our ability here. I would not call in with this show without this confidence. I think we're going to win two games in a row at our home place and then maybe lose one and then win the next.
So you expect the Pistons to go up 3-1?
Yep, 3-1, and then we're going to go back to your guys' place, the Square Garden.
Okay.
I think that's what it's called, right?
Yeah, Madison Square Garden. Your place is called Little Caesars Pizza Arena. Like, don't do that. Don't do that. 888-808-1019. Ray is in Babylon. Ray, you got it.
The Knicks make 2 3-point shots, and they win that game. They don't have to change a thing, Keith. They were in that game the entire time. The fourth quarter got a little bit behind them, but for the love of God, you got to make those 3-point shots. You don't think that if they made 2 3-pointers in that game, that you have a different outcome?
Yeah, but it's Mikal Bridges taking them. He went 3 from 11 from deep. I want Brunson shooting that, or maybe even Cat or OG.
I was just
going to
say that. Yeah, Brunson can't hit a 3-pointer tonight. What's going on, dude? Listen, I just think the Knicks stick with the game plan. You got to get those 3-pointers, and I think maybe slow down the game. They weren't looking. Did you notice that they were rushing down the court? And nobody was taking their time to look to develop them. Nobody was looking. They were just reacting.
Ray, it made me think about the time that Brunson missed. It made me think about how they had to evolve without him. It made me think about the week that they had off leading up to this. And how that fourth quarter that we saw Saturday, that was lightning in a bottle.
Yeah.
That was about as well as it could go. I was surprised JV Bickerstaff wasn't calling timeout. I'm like, are you going to stop this run?
Keith, I was just going to say that. For the love of God, I'm screaming, timeout, timeout. Slow the game down. Take a look. They weren't looking.
Well, that was tonight for Tommy Tibbs to use a timeout down the stretch. No, I was talking about J.B. Bickerstaff Saturday. Like, when your team is – when that run goes to, you know, 10-0, 15-0, you let it go to 21-0, that's the game. I mean, the Knicks went on a 12-2 run down the stretch here where it looked like they were coming back to do the same thing. And, you know, you get a couple missed shots, a couple calls. I mean, after Cade Cunningham wrapped his arm around OG – you got to take that momentum, but like that's basketball. Oh, you run out of time.
That's the other point I wanted to make, Keith. The refs weren't doing us any favors. I mean, listen, they let the boys play in the first half. That second half, it was all Detroit on those calls. I know I sound biased because I'm a Knicks fan, but they weren't doing us any favors tonight. And I don't know. We'll take two in Detroit, and then we'll say hello to our fans, our friends in Detroit. We'll see what happens when we come back to New York.
Thanks for the call, Ray. 888-808-1019. We can't cry about the officiating, especially because it's just getting going here. It'll come back around. I'm sure they have their gripes with officiating from, like, I watched the game. Everybody's got their arms in the air. Everybody's looking for something. Everybody. So we're just getting started here. New series. 1-1. It's a new series going to Detroit. Knicks got to take one in Detroit. Knicks fans, if I were you, and I had the money and the time and loved the Knicks and basketball, I might go check on that. I might go see what the flight to Michigan is like and what the cost of the ticket is going to be. Because as we saw in that last matchup in the regular season, oh, Detroit is alive. They think it's Detroit versus everybody. Detroit is alive. They haven't had a basketball team that was in the playoffs since 2019 and they were swept. You just heard the young guy from Michigan. What was his name? Joey, they're called. He was 8 years old in 2008, the last time they felt what it felt like to go to bed, you know, after a playoff win. So if you don't think the battery is in their back for that arena to turn up, it was already like that. They were, you know, talking trash to Landry Shamet. The Knicks travel well. The Knicks fans travel well. The Knicks are used to going into other people's buildings and having let's go Knicks chance. So, you know, maybe some Knicks fans that are interested in going to see it, go out there, go to Michigan. I know nobody really wants to go to Michigan, but it should warm up in the next couple of days. Ben is in Bernardsville, New Jersey on the Fan in New York. What up, Ben?
Keith, my guy, how's it going?
Good. I was thinking that the Knicks were about to come back and take that one, and then the vibe would be different. It's crazy how you kind of like set up your approach on the radio, and I'm watching it live. I think it was 94-94 or – I don't know, and it kind of...
Yeah, 94 all.
And then they didn't score again.
Yeah, I know. It was like, when that game was winding down, it was like 3 minutes, 2 minutes, I turned to my dad, and I'm like, last year's team, I would feel confident they were going to win this game. But this year's team, I don't. And a lot of that has to do with Karl-Anthony Towns. I mean, what was he, 8-for-18 from the field today? He was absolutely invisible. There was a play down the stretch, probably the last 2 minutes, where he grabbed a rebound. He was fumbling with the ball. He ended up having to dive, and it almost went out of bounds on the baseline. And it got to the point where I'm like, should Tibbs be employing Mitchell Robinson in this situation? Should he be switching defense offense? Mitch and Kat? Like, he was
it's tough
just a
to take. It's tough to take Karl-Anthony Towns out when you know he can score and Brunson needs help. And then last game, Karl-Anthony Towns with the rebounds, with the steals, with the passes down the stretch. He was an instrumental part of that 21-0 run. Did he get too comfortable?
Saturday.
Did
that's
he think
Saturday.
That? I don't know.
Monday.
I saw the cameras caught him. He dropped the FOH and the hot mics caught him. Was he too confident tonight? Because he was a minus 10, only 10 points, and then he wasn't getting any shots off late. He was a ghost. He was a non-factor.
Yeah, and then the other guy that the Knicks really changed their team from last year's the other big addition this offseason, Mikal Bridges. I mean, he had the one shot to tie the game at 97 apiece, and he just missed short. And he was missing long in the first half. He was off. He's been off from deep for the past two games. I mean, he finished with 19 points tonight, but he wasn't very efficient down the stretch. He missed a lot of three-pointers. He has to be better. Deuce McBride picked it up. I thought he was not good enough whatsoever in game one. He picked it up tonight. He had a pretty nice game. But Mikal Bridges is the guy I harp on. That's the guy that you traded 5 first-round picks for. That's the guy that you read, that was, I don't know, that's what
you can't be missing the shots. As simple as that, Ben. Down the stretch, if you're going to be taking those shots, I think he had a layup attempt and maybe he got fouled and then he missed two threes down the stretch. Brunson should be taking those shots. Karl Anthony Towns should be taking those shots. And I know he had a better night tonight, 19 points. He was a plus one, three steals, five rebounds. But still, from deep, he hit three out of 11 attempts, like, and missed a bunch down the stretch. So it's like, also, obviously, he was on the bench last game, so the strategy was different, and they wanted to go to Mikal Bridges. But if he's not a primetime player, if he's not cold-blooded, you know, if he's not going to be ice cold in those moments, you're going to come up short. And he was sitting there with his mouthpiece in his mouth kind of looking like, well, damn, I had an opportunity, you know, to really help us out there, and I came up short. Thanks for the call, Ben. Appreciate it. 888-808-1019. So it seems like right now, Knicks fans, the first playoff loss, you're not really mad at Jalen Brunson because he dropped 37 points. And if you had to ask me, he's probably 80% on that ankle. Those, you know, ankle sprains like that, you can play on them, and I don't know what they're doing to treat it. And he keeps going back in the locker room. He changed his shoes Saturday. He changed his shoes again tonight. They said he was going to grab the cape. Shout out to everything Knicks on Twitter. They're like, Brunson went to grab his cape. I said, maybe he needs the cape and cowl tonight because he would have had to, you know, go for 40-plus to pull this off. Do you feel like he's looking for help that's not there? Do you feel like, I don't know. I can't go back to last year. Last year's over. Those guys are gone. Frankie's in Bethpage on the fan. What's up, Frank?
Hey, Keith. Thanks for taking my call. Listen, that Pistons fan that called up before making fun of our arena is absolutely delusional. Listen,
I'm like, don't do that. Like you playing a pizza arena that nobody was going to for years.
It's ridiculous. Madison Square Garden is the world's most famous arena. Like, you can't be that confident after taking the game after this game. Knicks should have won this game. Listen, I know you said you can't complain about the refs, but the refs are awful tonight. Like, let's be honest. They were awful. Oh, it was a very rough game, and both teams were were rough again. But Mikal Bridges down the stretch and needed to make those threes. Like, I don't know how you miss those when he's wide open like that. Like, honestly, it's ridiculous.
If you got a good look, shoot it. And if you can't knock those down, you're just not a prime time player like that. This is the playoffs. Big time players.
I'm sitting there for my TV. I'm like, if he makes this, this is going to be a double bang. This might be better than Dante DiVincenzo double bang last year. Like, it's ridiculous. I don't understand how you miss those. Open look straight away. It's ridiculous. And this team, like, I know people keep saying this. This team doesn't have the same feel that last year's team had. It's like, I don't know, Keith. It's just, today was just an awful game. It really was. Between the physicality and the referees and Bridges missing those shots.
1-1. 1-1. All you got to do is win three to win the series. Thanks for the call, Frankie. I had these takes during the year watching this team. And I said, every time you make a trade, every time you make a move, you start to strip away who you were, and it changes who you can become. And the Knicks have become now a team that was a 2 seed, now a 3 seed. You know, everybody in the city's fired up. Ultimately, I don't think many people expect them to win a championship this year. But most people do not expect them to be knocked out in the first round, and I still don't. But follow me here. They are learning in the heat of the moment. They are learning under fire. They are figuring out some things, and you could tell, right? And same thing for the Pistons. Those guys grew up tonight. They were unraveling in the fourth quarter where I'm like, this is the young, inexperienced team. Again, they're about to get spanked and learn a lesson again. But no, a guy like Dennis Schroeder, a veteran, and you know, Tobias Harris. Tobias Harris, I talked about him being a zero last year in the Sixers series. Got nothing to do with this. Anyway, we got a break. I want to get the audio from Tom. Okay, so Tibbs spoke, and he said a couple things that you're going to want to hear. This is Keith McPherson on the Fan Dial, 888-808-1019. More of your calls and some audio from the Knicks head coach when we return. The Knicks lose to the Detroit Pistons in Game 2, 100-94, and it looked like they were coming back to do what they did in the first game, but they came up a little short with some decision-making and some missed shots and some calls. We've got a bunch of calls from the Knicks fans. But now we have audio from Tom Thibodeau that I would like to play. It's post-game reaction. I think there's some important things that you would like to hear or need to hear if you weren't watching. So let's just run it. It's about 3-4 minutes, and if I got to interject anywhere, I will, and then we'll get a call or two before we go to the 11 o'clock break and update. Hit it, Paul.
Yeah, so the rebounding was problematic the whole night, so that was probably the difference in the game. You know, you got to get stops. I thought we had some good looks at threes, and we didn't make. So trust the pass, and, you know, but we got to rebound.
Yeah, Mikal had that open look to tie it up. Was that the, you know, as good a look you could hope for, and it's something Chiefs
would probably just... And again, the same thing. It's the right play. Make the right play. Shot it good. We didn't make it. As long as you shoot it good, and he works on it all the time, so it's a good shot when we missed.
How do you assess what you saw from Jalen tonight?
Yeah, it was same. You know, like he battled like crazy. You know, there was a physicality that, you know, like I want to take a look at the, you know, obviously huge discrepancy in free throws. Huge. Huge. So I got to take a look at that. Right. So, you know, I don't understand, you know, how on one side, you know, you talk about direct line drives, the guy's getting fouled and it's not being called. Right. So, and look, I really don't give a crap how they call the game as long as it's consistent on both sides. So if Cunningham's driving and there's marginal contact and he's getting to the line, then Jalen deserves to be getting to the line. It's really that simple.
Tom, in terms of becoming a 48-minute team, playing the full 48 minutes, where do you guys need to go? Or how can you guys get to the point where you're playing?
Well, the thing is, missed shots are part of the game, but the rebounding, we control that. That's your effort. That's all those things. So, you know, if you're not shooting well, you got to do other things to help us win. So rebound the ball. So we know we got to rebound better.
Cat didn't get any shots in the fourth quarter. What do you make of that? And are there ways you feel like you guys can get him a little more involved in those situations?
Well, he's getting touches, but he's making the right play. If he's getting double teamed, I don't want him just shooting the ball over three people. That makes no sense to me.
And you also, in the first half, you closed with Mitch
at 5. Well, Mitch was the one guy rebounding.
What was Cade doing differently that, you know, allowed him to score so much today? And after, you know, you guys contained him pretty well in game one.
Yeah, no, he's a great player, you know, so got to the line a lot.
How exhausting is it for your ball club to play catch-up the entire game, and how problematic is that,
Well,
Tom?
You know, you have to win games different ways. Obviously, you'd rather play with the lead, but, you know, whatever, you just got to find a way to win at the end.
Tom, you talked about the calls, but I think it was 14-2 in the first half free throws. Is that the biggest thing you saw?
Yeah, and we got two late that were, you know, so, you know, it is what it is.
We saw you guys kind of dominate after that 21-0 run last game. What was the difference this time that they were able to be so resilient?
Yeah, you know, same thing. You know, we made a comeback, and, you know, we had a good shot at the end, and it didn't go in. So, you know, that's the way it goes sometimes, make or miss lead.
Just what's the message or the outlook going into game three now?
Same thing. You know, each game is different. You have to reset. Whether you win or lose, you reset, get ready for the next one. You got to understand what goes into winning.
I know you mentioned the foul, just in general, how do you feel like the guys responded to the physicality?
That's playoff basketball. It's not, you know, like, it's going to be physical, and that's fine. You know, and the rebounding we got to fix.
When the calls aren't going your guys' way, do you feel like there's an issue at all with maybe you guys getting too wrapped up in that and that negatively impacting
you
guys?
You know, that's part of our league. So you make your point, move on, try to do it during a dead ball.
After kind of a quiet game one, Schroeder, 20 off the bench tonight, what was it giving you trouble with him tonight?
Well, I think anytime, you know, you put two on somebody, you know, you got to make sure you're reacting out. And so I thought our turnovers hurt us in the first half. It was better in the second half. And we put him into the open floor.
Okay. So what Tibbs probably didn't see is the final numbers. As far as the fouls go, and I know if you watch the game early, there was a discrepancy then, but at the end of the game, it's 24 fouls for the Pistons and 22 fouls for the Knicks. But, you know, the biggest thing that I'm seeing in the box score, the largest discrepancy, the largest just difference is not even just the rebounds, where the Pistons had 48 rebounds, the Knicks had 34, so 14 there. the defensive rebounds. 36 of those being defensive rebounds. Let's take a call before we go to the break. Jonah in New Jersey, talk to us. You're live on The Fan in New York.
Hey, Keith.
Hey, and credit to MSG for letting us get that whole audio. Sorry, Jonah, just had to give credit to MSG. You got it.
Yeah, yeah. I think, like, I was going to talk about Kat. I was going to talk about Mikhail, but people have already, like, talked about that a bunch. I really think, like, in my opinion, the number one thing that's been holding us back all season is Tibbs. Because, like, obviously he's a good coach, but, like, he's not as good as everyone thinks he is. He's a defensively-minded coach. That's what everyone says. That's, like, his whole thing. We've, like, consistently not been a good defensive team. I get that we were last year, but there's, like, a disconnect. And then we also see, like, with the people he plays, obviously you can't give, like, people that haven't got much time minutes in the playoffs. But, like, every time we saw Campaign last night. We saw Tyler Kolek a couple times. We saw Landry Shamet in the start of the season. And then we see Deuce McBride, who's getting, like, a lot of minutes. And most games he's not playing as hard as he should. I think, like, if we end up losing, the best thing we could do for the team is trade Deuce McBride for somebody like a TJ McConnell, something like that. Like, a role player, sixth man with experience and that can play defense.
Thanks for the call, Jonah. I'm not thinking about a TJ McConnell type or like Deuce McBride. Like, it's bigger than those type of guys. I think you have to give credit Saturday to what we've seen with the Knicks to coaching. Like that doesn't all happen without strategy and rotations and giving guys an opportunity like a Campaign. And then you come into this game tonight, you got to give them a different look. It's a series. You give them a different look here. They're collecting data. You're collecting data. It didn't work out. You know, a couple shots go down. If the Knicks aren't playing, like somebody asked them, like, you know, playing from behind, they went down 15. Like, that's a bold strategy. I know you're in your building, but to think that, like, hey, you know, you can kind of play with your food and not like you got to play up. You're giving these guys confidence now. They're going back home, and that's the first win they've had in you know, 15 years. That's the first win they've had, or 15 game playoff losing streak, and the first win since 2008. So I don't know, man. It's a long series, and somebody else will rise. Maybe Karl Anthony Towns gives you a classic game. Maybe Bridges builds off this one. You lose one, you don't lose the series. But now the series starts going to Detroit for the first time. 888-808-1019. If you're on the hold, stay on hold. I'm going to get to you. We got a break. Go to the update. Keith McPherson on The Fan. BRB.